Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Effy.
And this is Heat and Chat.
And today on the Startup Chat, a little Stelly rant on how not to negotiate and how not to give references to prospects.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Let's
all right.
Do it.
So here's the deal, Heaton. Over the last 2-3 weeks, I've been helping a friend in a negotiation with a large customer that his company had that is, you know, that was just going through the motions of potentially considering or currently considering to switch to a competitor, right? So these guys were customers for them for a year. The renewal is coming up. And so they've been now thinking about switching to a larger competitor. And my friend has tried to like talk to them, visit them, and kind of try to negotiate with them and figure out, you know, a way to keep them as customers, right? And to convince them that his product and his company, his service is going to be serving them much better than the competitor. Now, the competitor has, you know, gone through a lot of efforts to sway them, has sent over a huge team, rolled out the red carpet, you know, steaks, dinners at expensive restaurants, everything you can think of. And my friend was not used to having to compete on that kind of very enterprise salesy level. And so he was surprised by that. And he was also surprised that the customer was really appreciating the attention and time and care that that competitor was funneling their way and channeling their way. Anyway, so throughout the entire time, I've tried to give advice and give tips on how to help with the negotiation to keep the customer around. And one really big thing was that switching to the competitor would take, you know, a long time in the transition. Using that competitor would take a lot of money to really integrate and customize and utilize that product. And so there were a lot of hidden costs that the competitor wasn't highlighting and that I wanted my friend to make them aware of. And in the final hour, one thing that happened a few days ago is it looked really good. It looked like they came around and they wanted to stay with him. They did a bit of research. They listened to his pitch and his argument. They appreciated his increased effort and showing them really that he cared and his company cared about keeping them as a customer as much as the competitor cared about winning them. And so it started to look really, really good. And I started to become confident that they're going to be able to keep the customer. And I was really happy about that. And then my friend calls me a few days ago. And the conversation starts with, Stelly, I have to make a confession. I did something you probably are going to be really unhappy about. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
What happened? It's like, well, you know, in my last meeting, he had a final meeting where he visited them to make his proposal pitch. He called me after that meeting and he told me almost everything that happened, but he left out a really crucial thing. And that was the thing he was admitting to at that call. He's like, well, one thing that happened that I didn't tell you about is that the very end, this customer had asked me if I'd known any other company that had made the switch between our solution and our competitor's solution that they could talk to. And I said, I probably have, and I had to think about it. And then what I did, Stelly, without consulting you or without asking for your advice, is I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, you know, I had done this in the past, and sometimes it has worked, and sometimes it hasn't, and I just thought I'll roll the dice, and so I connected them with a prior customer that left for that same competitor, and I knew that that customer, you know, it had taken them much longer to make the transition, and the transition was much more frustrating than they originally thought, so I just sent an intro hoping that that would help us. And I was like, okay, and what happened next? He's like, well, this customer, you know, was supposed to make a decision by today. They just informed me via email that they've postponed the decision for another week, and they're flying to this reference company that I made to them. They're flying there tomorrow to visit with them to get more insights before they make a final decision. Okay. Here's my next question, Heaton, to him. I go, well, when you made that connection, when you made that, gave him that reference, do you know what that person would tell them exactly? It's like, well, I assumed they would be telling them that it was really frustrating. I'm like, yeah, but would they tell them, hey, it was frustrating because we made XYZ mistake. Here's how to avoid these mistakes. Right. But we still stand by the decision to switch and we still encourage you. We think this is the right thing to do. Or will they say, no, never make the switch. Stay with the other solution. This is a bad one. Like, do you know what exactly they're going to tell? They told them. And he obviously went, no. And I was like, okay, did you tell the reference customer what your expectation was? Like, did you tell them, hey, here's a current customer of ours. I don't want them to leave. Would you be open to talk to them and encourage them to stay with us? Or did you just say, he is a current customer that is trying to leave. They also want to leave just to the same competitor that you left us to. Can you talk to them? And he's like, well, I did the latter. And this caused me a little bit of frustration, right? For obvious reasons. So here's what's really happened. And I wanted to share this, one, to rant and vent, but also hopefully to share this as a lesson to people. What I think happened...
Don't do that.
Don't fucking do that. Just never, ever do that, please. You might be able to even hear that I was like holding my face while I was saying that. Just never do this.
Yes.
Never, ever do this. Here's what happened, Heaton. I guarantee it to you. That reference customer, that person, he wasn't aware what the intent and expectation was. And he probably talked to them and said, yeah, we made a lot of mistakes. We underestimated X, Y, and Z. We worked through a few consultants that were able to help us, and some of them were shit, but finally we found somebody that was good. Here's how you should make the switch. And then that customer was like, wow, this is, can I just fly over and see exactly how you set up the implementation? Just learn more and I'll bring my team with me to learn from your team. And maybe you can bring your consultant so we can get to know him and maybe we'll use him too. Or her, and he was like, yeah, sure, I'm happy to help. And so now they're much further down the line of making the switch rather than being encouraged to stay. And so to help me out here, give me your to talk a little bit before I just keep ranting on this note.
You can't stop people from doing stupid things. especially when they're under pressure. Your friend was under pressure.
Yeah.
And he did something stupid. And you can't stop people from doing stupid things when they're under pressure. I mean, he had you helping him along the whole way.
Yep.
And he knew what he did was stupid.
Yep.
So, like, you know what? Like, when you're under pressure, don't use that as an excuse to do something stupid. Like, that's the lesson. Yeah, I mean...
I think...
Of course what he did was stupid. I mean, he just didn't think it through, and he was really desperate.
Yeah, so I want to double click on what you just said. I think that's going to be the lesson we should zero in and focus on because it's the more universal thing that we should highlight. The quick run through, though, the technical one that I want to do before that on the sales side of things is this. Don't give references when you don't control the message and you don't create clear expectation to the messenger, right? Never ever do that. And never ever say the words or think the words, I'm going to roll the dice. Sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. In a negotiation, this isn't Vegas. You're not playing a game. This is not the time to go, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's just roll the dice and see what. No, if you don't have if rolling the dice is the next best thing in your mind, you need to keep looking for somebody to give you better advice and a better strategy in a negotiation. You should never just roll the dice and see what happens. Just randomly do something and see if you get lucky. No. Now, coming back to your point, under pressure, like none of us is safe from doing dumb things. We are all, you know, very qualified to do dumb things, no matter how smart, quote unquote, we think we are or how experienced we are. We all can do a dumb thing. The important tactic, I think, here is that when you know you're under pressure, you cannot trust yourself. And so you need to find somebody that's going to be your, you know, the person that checks yourself to not wreck yourself, the person that you're going to be using as an advisor to and a sanity check to prevent yourself from doing dumb shit, right? 2 years ago, I had a large negotiation that fell on my lap. I was busy with a bunch of other projects, and I had no energy or time to handle that large negotiation. And I knew that about myself. And that person I was negotiating with was an incredibly good negotiator. I knew that as well, and a very annoying negotiator. I knew that as well. So the moment I started the negotiation, I knew I can't trust myself. And I know that some people, a lot of people come to me as like a negotiation quote-unquote expert, right? I help all these people. I've written a book on negotiation. So I know a lot about this topic, but I know enough to know that I'm also just human. And at times, I cannot be trusted, right? And so the entire negotiation, I had an advisor, a person that I would check in on every single decision I was making because I knew I was very impatient. I just wanted to get it over with. And I knew that the person I was negotiating with was this annoying and very patient and very effective negotiator. So I knew that after a few weeks of negotiation, I wasn't effective anymore because I just wanted to get over it. And so I needed somebody else to keep me straight, right? And keep me from making this mistake. So I think the two things here are, you know, we all make dumb mistakes. Under pressure, humans make more dumb mistakes than usual. And my, I think, tip here is use an advisor. But now I want to ask you, Heaton, he had an advisor. He was talking to me. I was helpful. I was, you know, friendly. And still, at the moment where he chose to do something dumb, he also chose not to tell me, which is a very human thing, too. Why? Why do you think that is?
He was desperate. He was just desperate.
Mm.
He didn't think. He didn't realize that he shouldn't do it. If you have someone's advice and they're an expert and you're using it and you've been using it, then you keep using it. You don't go against that relationship. You don't go against that advice. And that's like what you do, unless you don't value the advice. Or unless you're so desperate that you're just trying to do anything. Because honestly, he could have got to the same conclusion without any of your help. Like, in a way, it's like you wasted your time.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, I'm sure you don't care too much, but like, you wanted him to succeed. You were incentivized to do that. And, you know, it's just, the irony is just he knew that he shouldn't do it. But yet, he also had your help. And, you know, in a way, like, I'll go a little extreme and say it's in a way it's like a relationship killer if you're going to do that. Because it's like you're sitting there invested in getting him a win, right?
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's sabotaging it. And he might have just fully sabotaged it, especially if that client is going to fly over there.
Yeah.
Like there's only one reason. Right? Yeah. Like I don't see any other reason. They're spending their money, their time, they're going to fly over there. And that also means that this was probably a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
So... yeah, I mean, there's nothing to really say. Sometimes it's a personality type that'll do that. And sometimes it's just literally just the fact that the person's so desperate that they'll just do anything. And, you know, oftentimes I see this happen when someone's getting advice from multiple people on the same topic and just doesn't know who to listen to and is getting conflicting advice. So that can happen as well.
Yeah, very good point. All right, I think we'll wrap this up here. Let this episode be a lesson to all of you startup people and founders. Please, when you're under pressure, just be self-aware enough to know that your chances of making dumb mistakes increase every day and every hour, and use somebody, you know, and in this case, one person or group instead of like multiple advisors, use one person you truly trust to help you avoid these mistakes, and then please, please, please keep that person in the loop, right? It makes no sense to use somebody to ask for people's advice when you withhold information from them, right? When you tell them just parts of what's going on because other parts you're embarrassed of. They're not going to be able to give you advice. They're probably going to give you bad advice because they don't know the full picture. So that's it. That's it for me and from us for this episode. We'll hear you very soon.
Cheers.